The We Are Wakefield podcast, produced by Wowvie Video, creating content to wow your audience.
It became evident quite quickly that the business was in a really, really bad position.
Every single person that we're able to help, that is the biggest achievement.
My son has said that you've saved his life.
To be a coach, it's about how you can help other people.
Welcome to the We Are Wakefield podcast. I'm Claire Southerly, Managing Director of We Are Wakefield, and this is episode 9. Today we're joined by Simon Banks of the Alternative Board Wakefield District and Nick Johnston Davis of Unstoppable. We talk about how to achieve maximum performance in your business and personal life and how well-being builds the foundations of success. Hi Simon, hi Nick. Thank you for coming in today to record the We Are Wakefield podcast. This is episode 9, so we're quite a way on the journey now, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you both today. So Nick, I'm going to come to you first. Okay. So tell me, who is Nick Johnston Davis?
Full background, or would you like...
We've got an hour, so...
Okay, no problem. So my name's Nick Johnston Davis, co-founder of Unstoppable. My history, I spent 20 years as a business consultant, working in the public sector and with the military for 10 years and with smaller companies as well. Out the back of that, there was one particular event one day where I'd been commuting up and down from North Yorkshire to back down to Lincoln for a fair bit. And out the back of that, I had neglected my exercise. I neglected my food. I was eating out of service stations on a daily basis, neglecting my sleep as well and trying to catch up at weekends. And at the back of that, one day I was in one of my clients' offices and I started to feel unwell. I started to get chest pains, which then moved down my arm. And that's the last thing that I remember.
Okay, and how long ago was that?
That was about 10 years ago now.
Okay, so where do we go from there? What happened after that event? What actually happened then? That's the last thing
you remember. Yep, so I don't remember the trip to hospital. I don't remember the paramedics working on me. I woke up in CCU being told that I was lucky to still be here. And having taken both my parents on that journey, or being seen both my parents on that journey, it was one of the biggest wake-up calls I think that anyone can have. Out the back of that, I decided to move back down to Lincoln. At that point, Ryan, my business partner, who many people at We Are Wakefield have seen as well, we met up and he was looking to start an online fitness business at the time. And I knew that I could help him with his business and he knew that he could help me. So was born. We lasted 2 weeks as consultant and client and coach and customer. And out the back of that, we decided to start working together.
Right. So quite a serendipitous moment then.
It really was, yeah, yeah. Yeah, hadn't met anyone like that before that was as in tune with the way, even though we are very opposite, we are very similar as well. And we've both got a very driven mindset when it comes to things. So that's kind of like how we met and how Unstoppable was formed, out of a want to help everyone else not go through the same thing that I went through. So
was it a heart attack?
Yeah.
It was a heart attack, full on heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't remember anything about the actual day it happened? Or is it that you want to forget?
I remember being sat there and then that was it. After that, I don't remember anything else after that. Waking up in hospital bed. That's kind of like where it... that's the next memory that I've got.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Simon, welcome to the We Are Wakefield podcast.
Hello.
Tell me, who is Simon Banks?
So I'm Simon Banks from the Alternative Board Wakefield. I'll tell you what the Alternative Board is about a little bit later, maybe.
Yes, we want to hear about you first.
Right, so my background is in manufacturing, specifically timber components. I worked for the same business for almost 25 years, starting out as an office waller, for want of a better word, and then eventually becoming senior management and a shareholder of that business. But I never really felt settled. I always felt like a square peg in a round hole. There are reasons for that, again, which we'll probably talk about later.
We will.
And an opportunity arose during the last recession, 2009, 2010, I went back out on the road because the business needed sales. So I took a step back from senior management, went back out on the road, and I met my now business partner, a guy called Imran, who ran a business called Apollo Beds. And there was an opportunity to buy a timber company that was struggling, that supplied into the bed industry in Batley and Dewsbury. So we had a long chat and then decided that we'd just go for it. And we did, just went for it. We didn't do any due diligence. We just charged in. It felt like the right thing to do. And within, so I was given permission by my other business, by our MD, to look into this opportunity. He decided he wanted to invest in it. It became evident quite quickly that the business was in a really, really bad position, really poor, no culture, very little structure, no processes. It was as bad as you could imagine a manufacturing business could be. So at that time, I was feeling a bit lost. The people that had invested in it had lost interest, and I was pretty much left to run it myself with very little support. And it was failing quite badly. It was at that point that I got a phone call from a guy called Dougie Brown, who was the old Wakefield Alternative Board owner. And something I'd never, ever heard of, business coaching or peer boards or anything like that before. The business I'd worked in for 20 odd years was very insular. We didn't look externally for any support. So it was completely alien to me. But I was at a loss to know where to turn. So I thought, why not? I'll just give it a go. And I didn't look back. And Samson's just went from strength to strength. That's my manufacturing business. And then in 2000, so my personal vision was to be able to, for the business to run itself, for me to take a step back and do something else. 2019, I got to that point and then got very bored very quickly. And Dougie invited me to join him at TAB Wakefield as a co-facilitator. And then a year after that, I bought the business from him. And that's where I am now, doing TAB and running a manufacturing business.
Spinning plates.
Yeah, spinning lots of plates, yeah.
Yeah. As most business owners do.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so both of you, we are Wakefield members, and for well over a year now.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Both quite established within the group now. Mm-hmm. Tell me, Nick, the point where you met Ryan, what happened to you to make you think, right, okay, I'm leaving this. I know that there was the health issue. You met Ryan, yeah. Nick. So Nick meets Ryan. Nick's had a heart attack, life-changing moment. At that point, where were you on your business journey? Were you self-employed? Were you working for someone else? So you're a business consultant, supporting other people, pretty similar to how Simon does now, really.
Yeah, pretty much so.
What made you think, right, that's enough, this is the journey I'm going to take now?
So, and I'm sure Simon will agree on this, when you're a consultant, you're constantly working with people, looking to find the best in their business. But the one thing that I realised very quickly was that all of the other stuff that you need to be successful in business wasn't happening. And what a lot of people were doing was they were sacrificing their health and their well-being to run their business. And that's a bit of hindsight now. When we were in the situation, it was just a case of kind of doing it, excited. I was getting results. Everything was kind of moving in the right direction. I kind of got my mojo back. I kind of got my, rather than like just spending my whole time knocking coffee back to stay awake, to be ready for the next bit, So at the back of that, that's kind of like where it started to come from, is that on both sides of the business, whether it be working with someone individually who's got some sort of goal that they want to achieve, or working with businesses to improve the well-being within their business, but also as well to improve the performance of people within their business as well. If we can reduce absenteeism, if we can help people enjoy the culture at the place where they're working more, that's kind of where that whole kind of side of thing that was always missing from the other business, and that's kind of like as it's developed, that's kind of like where we've gone with it.
Tell us about the Unstoppable offer then. What's your offer? So if you're at a networking event, I know you're quite a prolific networker.
A little bit, yeah. Yep.
see it all over LinkedIn all the time. What's your elevator pitch? How do you sum up the Unstoppable offer to someone who's never heard of you before?
It's interesting you say that because I very rarely do that. I much prefer to ask questions of the people that I'm speaking. I like to find out what's going on. So there wouldn't be an elevator pitch from me at a network event. I would ask people what's going on in their life at the moment, and then that conversation would develop. In terms of the offering we have, we are an extremely holistic company that look to finding whatever the solution needs to be for that individual. So if there's an issue around sleep, if there's an issue around the menopause, nutrition, if there's an issue around exercise, we look at every single element of that person's life and then find out what's going to work for them, not only whilst they're working with us, because we are conscious that people will come and work with us for a while and then they'll find their own path. And that's what we aim to do. Provide all the information, provide everything that they need, that they can make a change for life and then not need us at the end. Really bad business model, but it's good in terms of people's well-being, in terms of how they then progress through to what they want to do next.
So who are your clients?
Everyone and anyone. It really is. People generally come to us when they've reached a point where they actually want to make a change. So it could be that the kids have gone to university, they've finally got some time for themselves and they want to actually start looking after themselves rather than looking after everyone else. We've got one particular client on board at the moment that they were just about to move from one company to the next company, and they knew that it was going to be a really hard 18 months when they got in. They knew that their performance had to be top notch from day one running in. So they worked with us 3 months before they started the new job, and we got everything sorted and gave them a regime they could follow whilst flying here, there and everywhere, something that's going to work all the time for them.
So it's a very bespoke approach for the individual.
Very, yeah.
And from a corporate perspective, what's your offer as far as going into a business and supporting that business with their team?
Yeah, certainly. So if I give you an example, we had an IT company in Castle Donington that we met at a networking event. We met at a couple of networking events. We're talking to him. And the director's main concern was his own sleep. He said, okay, well, if you're struggling, the chances are some of your staff might be. He said, yeah, what? And I said, well, perhaps we'll come in, talk about sleep. We'll talk a bit about nutrition, a bit about exercise. We'll spend a day with you and we'll kind of see how that works. So we took half the team in the morning, half the team in the afternoon. And we went through those three elements. And there were light bulbs pinging on all the way through the two sessions.
Can you see that happening? Yes. Can you see that in people's faces as you're talking, that it's really resonating with them?
Yeah. And then as soon as they engage, a lot of people are fearful of asking those questions that they think everyone should know the answer to. And we provide an environment where people can ask any question whatsoever, as complicated or as simple as it needs to be. And as soon as that conversation develops, the barriers come down and people just start asking questions about what's going on and sharing with the group as well. We have one guy who's Spanish descent. And he used to go out and sit in his car at lunchtime for a bit of a siesta during his lunch break. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about taking naps.
Glass of red wine, maybe?
Not quite. But so that really worked for him. And when we were talking about it, like, oh, he goes out. So there was that shared experience. And people started talking about what their problems were, what was going on, what they were feeling. And then we could provide solutions to that. And the results have been transformational. The business is... it's going from strength to strength, not just a result of what we've done, but just as giving people the other side of business. They're not coming into 9 to 5. What can they do on a daily basis, which is going to make their life better for them, their families, their children, even down to spending time with having the time to spend it with their children, their families as well.
And it's absolutely no secret that we've worked together.
Indeed, yeah.
And the reason it's not a secret is because it's visually quite obvious. One of the most well, the most common question I get at the moment is nothing about We Are Wakefield. It's nothing particularly about business. It's how have you lost all that weight? So I've lost 3.5 stone and I started working with you just before Easter last year. And I had that light bulb moment when we had the call about We Are Wakefield and you were interested in what we do and how we could support you as a business. But I think my words were, I think I need you more than you need me. And the rest's history. So I've obviously worked really closely with yourself and lost the weight really quickly by following what you've put in place. And I think having that accountability as well. Do you think that's one of the most important things that you give? Obviously, you give everyone the toolkit to do what they need to do, but people being accountable and you being there sort of guiding them and sort of holding their hand through the journey.
It's someone that you can turn to and that can answer the questions that you want answered. So, yeah, it's being able to, accountability is it. Knowing that, as some people say, Nick sat on my shoulder watching over me. A lot of people say that. That's not because I'm kind of like that bad. It's just that I kind of...
Absolutely not. It's been an absolute pleasure, I've got to say. And you made it very easy. But I'd hit the point where in my journey, I was the heaviest I'd ever been. I was working long hours. I was struggling with my sleep. I'm at an age where apparently it's difficult to lose weight at my age now.
Okay.
Well, so they say. Is that an excuse? I'm not sure. But you obviously have supported me on my journey and I'm there now and it's all about for me sort of maintaining and keeping up with the habits that I've formed. So I think that's one way to describe what you do. It's habit forming, isn't it?
Yeah. It's finding what works for you. There's no point me saying for you to do that particular exercise if you're never going to do it or you're going to do it for the time we're working together and go, right, okay, stop now and we can go on to something else. Needing to find what works for you, what works in your schedule, how it can all come together and be something you can do every day. So, yeah, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, and it's life-changing, I've got to say. And age is not a barrier as well, because I'm going to be quite open here and say that you've supported my son on quite a journey. My son, and I'm trying not to get emotional now, but my son has said that you've saved his life.
Yeah, I know.
How does that feel?
We've always come from a place where we just want to help people. And I didn't realise the impact that I'd had on Dylan that I'd had. It was just reassuring that we were communicating, we were talking about stuff. If ever he had a problem, he can come and talk about it. And we'd always find a solution. And there was no pressure. And having seen pictures of him since and talked to you and talked to him as well, do you know what? It just fills you up. It really does. It means that you've been able to help someone get to where they want to get to. And I think I'm right in saying, well, no, I'm right in saying that his confidence levels now are through the roof. Mm-hmm. He is a different person to the person he was then. And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah. I mean, he's just turned 18 and he's obviously going off on his the next chapter of his life in September, going to university and going as a different person, literally a different person. He's lost almost 9 stone now.
Amazing.
Which is phenomenal. And all I can do is thank you for that support that you've provided. And obviously it's been life-changing for him and for me. I'm going to come over to you now, Simon. We'll come back to Nick and Unstoppable shortly, because obviously we've got to talk about a collaboration here as well, because you're actually working with Nick
as well.
Yeah. But we'll come back to that. Okay. I want to talk about TAB, the alternative board, because you're also providing life-changing support, aren't you? And I'm not exaggerating there because I'm also working with you.
You are, yes.
So it's quite odd for me in this podcast because where in previous episodes I've been speaking to businesses that I know well, that are part of We Are Wakefield, and I'm quite aware of their journey, this is quite a personal one for me. And I'm finding this quite difficult to separate myself from the conversation. But I want you to tell people how you work and what impact you and TAB have on them and their businesses.
Well, I can talk in two ways about that. From my own experience as a TAB member before I became a coach and facilitator, and it was life changing because I was completely lost. I was overwhelmed. And working with a coach and focusing on the right areas in my business changed everything. But I think Nick hit on it a little bit earlier on when he said about, you know, if you're running a business, it can be completely all-consuming. It's all you think about, and it takes over everything. So not just your health. You neglect your health, you neglect your relationship with your family and your partner. And, you know, I've worked with business owners who haven't had a holiday for 3 or 4 years.
It's a familiar story,
yeah,
isn't
so,
it?
Yeah, so... It's a bit of a cliche, really, but that work-life balance thing is a big element of what we talk about in TAB and what we're trying to help people with. And for me, as the MD of Samsons, that was about building a management team underneath me so I could step back from a lot of the day-to-day stuff. I'm honest when I say that Samsons is operating today and I have no idea what's going on.
Which is a nice position to be in, isn't it?
It is. So,
there is still, and you're not worried about
I'm not worried about no. it, no. And I know I've got a team of people working for me that will do all the right things. I'm there to support them and help them. And I think, and it depends on the size of your business. So we work with people where there's just them, some very, very small micro businesses. And that's about helping them manage the diary and the time better. Making better and quicker decisions because there's a lot of procrastination goes on. People waste an awful lot of time trying to get to a decision. But also the planning focus. And I think from our point of view, the way we work with our members at TAB, we call them members, not clients, because they're also a member of a peer board as well as part of that package.
So can we just stop there just briefly and explain the format
right.
of TAB?
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't know what it is. A lot of people think it's networking and it's not networking
no, it's absolutely
at all,
not
is it?
That, no. So the central to what we do is we bring business owners together into a group of about 5 or 6 people. They meet once a month. They bring challenges and issues, and there's always a challenge and an issue. Everyone that's running a business knows there's always something going on.
Constantly.
It's not a straight line. There's always something. And they bring that to the board. Now, that might be just, they might already have a solution and answer, they just want to soundboard it, or they might really not know which way to go with it. So the board will ask them questions and offer them advice on how to move forward with that. And everyone on that board brings an issue every month. So it becomes a very supportive group of people. They've got each other's backs. There's no vested interest. There's no judgment. And that level of support from peers as opposed to consultants just brings a whole different dynamic to the situation.
And what's your role?
So I facilitate those meetings. And then in between the meetings, I have a one-to-one session with each member where we just look at what's current in the business, what support they need. And I think the importance of that is that it's not a one-size-fits-all. So I think when Nick touched on, you can't just say to them, we do this, this and this. This is what TAB is. We work very hard to find out what support that member needs and how best to work with them to offer that support. And, you know, it might be very structured process, or it might be something a lot looser. It just depends on what they need. So the first 2 or 3 meetings are really just identifying what's the best way to work with this member, how are they going to get the best from the relationship. And my relationship with each member is very different and the way I support them is very different.
How do you structure a board? How do you know that those people around that table are going to work together? How do you know that the chemistry is going to be right?
Well, not everyone's right. Not everyone's right for a TAB board. So we're looking for people that... that recognise that they don't know it all already. We're looking for people that don't have a big ego. We're looking for people that...
You let me in.
Well, you haven't got a big ego. we're looking for people that that can collaborate, that have got a very supportive nature. So it's not right for everyone. So we put people together that we think are going to be a good fit. They might be in different stages in their business journey. They might have different challenges. And we don't always get it right. Sometimes we'll bring somebody to the board and they're not quite right. The fit isn't quite right. We don't tie people into contracts. If it's not right, they leave.
Yeah.
We don't make people pay for 6 months or 12 months of membership.
So it's not a subscription.
Well, it is a subscription model, but it's month to month.
Yeah.
So if it's not right for you, absolutely, we don't want you in TAB because that we don't want you thinking that we're wasting your money. Mm. But it is a bit of an art form getting the right people together. It's not a matter of just chucking anybody in who wants to sign up for TAB. So the way we do it is, as you'll know yourself, Claire, is that we start with two or three founder members that we think are a good fit together. And then we bring people in as we meet people through our networking or through our campaigns that we think TAB would be a good, and they think TAB would be a good support for them. And then we see if they're the right fit for the people on the board. They come along as a guest, and then the existing members have a chat and say, yes, we'd like that person to join. So whilst we have a sales process to find members, it then becomes an invitation process after that. Are they the right fit? And are the people that are already on the board happy to have them join the group?
I can imagine that's really time consuming for you as well.
It all depends how you do it. So I don't have the time to work to sit in front of lots of cold leads.
Yeah.
So I like to get referrals, and that works really well for me. So I'm sitting in front of somebody that's already interested, and the person that's referred them already thinks that they might be a good fit for a TAB board. So that cuts an awful lot of unnecessary conversations out. And I would say probably that 50% of the people that I sit in front of, if they're right for TAB, will become a member and get an awful lot from that experience after that.
And is it a similar process to how Nick's just described, where you make it so at some point they will leave and continue without that support?
That's up to them. So there are some people that certainly the smaller businesses that we work with, they're more likely to have a shorter TAB journey.
But some why of the, is that?
Because they come in with a particular challenge or issue that they've got and they get through that.
Yeah.
Businesses that are a bit bigger, I've got big growth plans. There's always an issue and challenge. We've got members that work with us in the Wakefield district that have been TAB members for 11 years, 12 years. And it just becomes an intrinsic part of their business practice and what they do. They see it as part of the business as opposed to something separate. And we've got members that have lasted a year or 2 years and then have got to the point where they don't feel they need it anymore. And they're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies. But yeah, some people will stick around for a long time because they're still getting the value from the board meetings and from the relationship with their coach well into their into their business life. Even though maybe the reason they joined has gone away and been solved, other issues and challenges come up.
I know you touched on this right at the beginning and said that we might talk about it later in the podcast. Tell us about the neurodiversity that you've discovered in yourself and how you use that to support members of TAB. Because I think it's become a bit of a superpower for you.
Possibly. So I think for me, when I realised where I was, it explained why I struggled to work for another business, because I really do struggle with structure. I am very much a work in the moment type of person. And I think a lot of coaching offerings, with no disrespect to them, because there's some great coaching offerings out there, they want to push people down a process. And whilst that works for some people, it doesn't work for everyone. And I think because I recognise the traits in me that make that process difficult, I can see...
And what are those traits? I know what I'm talking about here. You say the listeners won't.
Right.
So we need to backtrack a little bit.
We're talking about mainly about ADHD.
Yes.
And ADHD that an ADHD brain, in a very simplistic terms, works on dopamine.
Okay.
So you need dopamine, you need interest, otherwise you just can't do something. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for the brain to engage and concentrate on something that it's not interested in.
Easily distracted.
Very easily distracted. You can be a little bit chaotic in the way that you do things. So seeing that and recognising that in a business owner or a business leader enables me to work differently with them. And I'm not an ADHD coach at all. There are some great ADHD coaches out there. I have an ADHD coach who's been fantastic for me. So I would signpost that member for ADHD coaching. But from a business coaching point of view, it means I can adapt the way I work with them so they get a better experience and a better outcome. And I've got two people at the moment that I'm working with who I've been able to adapt to my approach. And we have a great relationship and they're getting an awful lot from the experience of being a TAB member because I've been able to recognise those traits in them. And there is a theory, and I don't think there's a stat to back it up, that 40% of business owners have got some neurodivergency. They're running the business because they can't work in that controlled environment that working as an employee brings.
Sorry to interrupt your podcast, but is your business in need of high-quality video content to help raise the profile of your products and services? We create quality video content for B2B brands who want more visibility in the marketplace without the extra headache. From live action, animation, 3D, live streaming, vlogging, and so much more. For a free quote or consultation, visit wowvvideo.com. Right, let's get back to the podcast.
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Which personal traits do you think you bring to what you do, Nick? What do you think what do you sort of get from within that supports you in what you do in supporting other people?
It's a really difficult and interesting question. I spend my time asking other people about them. And you'll always notice in a conversation that I'll generally flip it over to the other person.
Well, don't ask me now because I'm asking you.
Okay. I tried.
It's not going to work.
I think that I've done a lot of things, had a lot of experiences, had a lot of bad experiences outside of a lot of childhood trauma. There's been a number of things that have happened. And I think as a result of that, you're able to have a conversation about anything in a way that means that the person that you're having that conversation with feels like they can talk to you. Mm-hmm. That you're either aware of the problem or you understand the problem, and it's a safe place.
Yes.
I think that's probably the key thing, that people tend to pick up on that straight away. The normal thing what happens is, I can't believe I'm telling you this. I'm like, well, you've got to talk to someone about it, so let's talk about it.
I think that's where you've succeeded with my son, really, is that it was a conversation that we couldn't have. And for me, it was absolutely life-changing, like I've said, in that he felt he could have that conversation with you. I'd love to know what the secret is. I know it's because I'm his mum, but, you know, I think you both really create those safe environments where people can build that trust.
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar in that way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that if you can see someone's life through their lens rather than your own, that's the key to achieving success with that individual. If you can not impose your views on that person, if you can offer advice, that's fair enough, but be able to empathize and see what they're seeing, understand the way that they're feeling about a situation. As soon as you do that, then you can find a solution. As soon as, if I was to tell you what you needed to do, rather than find a way that works for you, simplifying it a little bit, but that wouldn't work long term. And it's listening a lot of the time. It's listening, it's understanding, but actively listening. Too many people have conversations and they don't actually listen to what the person's saying. They're just waiting until they can get their two pennies worth in. So I think, yeah, I think that's probably what I bring to conversations, is that it's a safe place, but also as well, it's an understanding place where I can see stuff from their point of view.
And would you say that you work in the same way, Simon?
Yeah, so for me, you can never really understand somebody until you walk around in their shoes. And the only way you can do that, you can't literally do that, is to ask them lots of the right questions. So, you know, the way TAB works, both from a point of view of the coaching relationship and the peer board relationship, it's all about asking great questions. So you'll know from your experience as a TAB member, the way we work is it's all based around, you know, asking questions. And I think what TAB enables its members to do, so one of the things for me about TAB is when you become a member of a board, and I, you know, my experience is a member for 6 years, and I'm still a member of a board now. So I think I'm the only facilitator in the UK that is still a member of a board.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah, so I'm a guy, I attend a board in Harrogate as my role as MD of Samson Products.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because I still need it. You know, I'm not, just because I'm now a facilitator and a coach doesn't mean I don't need coaching and facilitating. So I work with three coaches myself. I absolutely get the value of coaching. So I've got Nick, who looks after my health and well-being.
And we'll come back to that.
Yeah, I've got an ADHD coach, I can say it, called Trudy Netherwood, who helps me with ADHD and broader personal stuff. She's absolutely fantastic. I meet with her once a month. Then I've got a guy who's a TAB facilitator in Harrogate called Tom Morton, who is my business coach. So one of the things about TAB for me, the big thing for me was personal development, and that was the ability to ask great questions. And I think that critical thinking, lateral thinking that you develop as a board member is the real strength of TAB. And if you go for long enough, you get good at asking yourself great questions as well.
Mm.
And a lot of TAB members will say, in between the meetings, when they've got an issue or a challenge, they'll say, well, what would my TAB members ask me? What questions would they ask me about this situation? So it's not just about having a better business. There's a huge amount of non-structured personal development involved with being a TAB member as well. And I gained a huge amount from that experience as a member, and still do.
Where do you think you've honed that skill from then, Nick? Because it is a real skill, isn't it? Being able to ask the right questions to get the right information out of someone to support them. Is it from the business background, do you think, or is it just a personal trait?
I think when you experience enough, when you've been through the mire,
yeah.
When you've seen other people go through that, when you've lived, then you're more able to have a much wider view. Rather than a very fixed view. And I think that's what's important. I think there's only ever been one person that came to me with a situation that they experienced, and I didn't have the answer. And that was probably more traumatic for me, not being able to offer the support that I know they needed at the time. And at the back of that, I educated myself around that particular topic and made sure that the next time someone came along, then I could help them. And I think that's it as well. The art of being a coach is to, if there isn't something you know, you do go out and find out about it and understand it so that you can offer that support. So one size doesn't fit all. Everyone comes with their own set of constraints or questions or experience or where they've been, how they've grown up. And yeah, same for example, let's put it on a physical sense, is that say someone comes up with a particular type of injury or a particular medical issue, we'll always then go and look at that and see what the implications are for that in terms of the advice that we would be given as well. That's really, really important.
Yeah.
Understanding the person that you're working with and knowing that if you're going to suggest to them they do this, and there's no way on earth they're going to be able to do it because of this, 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 and this. You haven't done your research. You've not found out what the contraindications are on medication and all those sorts of things. Simon and I have had lots of conversations. Don't feel like me saying diabetic. And as a result of that, we have lots of conversations about that, about trying to find what works and what doesn't. And that's really important because it's a big factor in everything that's going on. So, yeah.
I think it's important to tell the listeners as well about how your particular model works, in that you've never actually met my son, for example.
I know.
So it's quite interesting that it works as an online business as well as face-to-face, isn't it? So it's within an app.
That's right. So whenever we go and see a business, we'll always go and see the business.
Yeah.
Experience has taught me that you have to see the environment. You have to see, you can walk into a building and very quickly you can see what's going on. You can see what dynamics are going on. When you're working with an individual, we've got people that work with in Malaysia, in Australia, in America. And even though the air miles would be great to get from all these places, it's all about time and serving as many people as we possibly can. So, yeah, our online coaching is through Zoom calls where we have those conversations that we have, through WhatsApp as well, and through videos to each other, but also through an app that we've developed as well, which supports them in terms of the actual things they need to do. But the conversations always take place over Zoom.
One thing we've not touched on is your personal achievements athletically. I can't believe you didn't mention that at the beginning when I asked who you were, because that's a massive part of what you do as well, is the Masters. So tell us about the Masters. You are a gold medal winning sprinter.
Yes, I am.
Tell us what the Masters is.
So Masters Athletics is for anyone over the age of 35. Which enables people to continue in the sport at a really good level. And I mean, having been to the British Champs last two weekends ago, seeing 85-year-old men and women running on an athletics
85?
Track and getting ridiculously good times.
I feel it sometimes. So well
I feel it sometimes. I feel it sometimes. Yeah, so again, I've got to kind of blame Ryan a bit for this one, in the sense that he dragged me up to the track and said, why don't you come up and give it a go? So my first experience at the track was with a group of people that were much younger than me. There were no other Masters up there at the particular time that we were up there.
Do you mind me asking your age? I've never asked you that.
Have you not?
No.
You know how old I am?
I don't.
Do you not?
No, I could guess, but I'm too polite.
Oh, go on, have a guess.
No, I'm not. Don't put me on the spot.
Please, have a guess.
It's just told you was 85.
Yeah, 85. Exactly.
I wouldn't have asked you a day over 83.
Oh, okay.
Come All on, right. Tell us.
I'm 50.
Okay, well, you look brilliant for 50, and that's a testament, obviously, that you practice what you preach.
Yeah.
You know, it's looking after yourself and taking care of your own well-being.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us how, I'm presuming that the Masters, from your backstory, you weren't athletic when you were younger, or were you, and then it slipped, or how did you get back to that level?
Right, okay, so when I was at school, I was a runner, but I was also a basketball player as well.
And you are tall,
but
everyone's tall compared to me.
You would think I was tall. As I moved up through the leagues, I suddenly found that I was actually probably the shortest person on the team.
Really?
So, yes. Okay. Yeah, it was quite interesting transition. From there, when I went to uni and started businesses and started that side of life, I've always loved exercise. I've always loved sport. But when I moved up to North Yorkshire from Northampton, that for me was a case where I was doing a lot more commuting. So even though I'm up at 4:30 now every morning, it's slightly different. I'd be up at 5, back at 10 at night. Just didn't have the time. And at weekends, I'd be just trying to catch up on some sleep. So so it kind of lapsed, yeah. I'd go to the gym, do my bit there when I had time. But it was always as a secondary thought.
Mm.
It wasn't part of the whole process as being as good a person as I can.
It wasn't I priority at that time.
No. So yeah, the upshot was, out the back of starting to do sprinting, I turned out I wasn't that bad at it. And last year, went to the European Championships in Finland, and I got gold in 100 metres.
Huge congratulations and very well deserved for the effort you put in. You are at that track at what time every morning? 5 o'clock?
5, 6 o'clock, yeah.
It's commitment, isn't it?
Very much so.
It is.
And then this year, in 150 odd days' time, I've got the World Athletic Championships in Gothenburg in Sweden that wow. I'm attending. So I'm doing 100 metres and 200 metres in that. I'm still not sure about 200 metres, but yeah, we're going to give it a go and see what we can do. Yeah.
So are we hoping to see another gold medal then at the first Friday after that?
Do you know what? Just getting there is great, and I am going to enjoy the experience and let's see what happens.
Let's not put too much pressure on.
There's no pressure. I always run my own race. I very rarely run against someone else. It's about improving my time and what I can do and what I achieve. Let's see what happens. And as long as I get there injury free, on the start line and enjoying it, then that's all I can ask of that particular event. It'd just be a wonderful experience.
Absolutely, yeah, and I'm sure that we are Wakey family will be cheering you on.
That'll be lovely. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there'll be some live streaming, I think.
Amazing.
So yeah, quite good.
Amazing. So Simon, I'm going to come to you now to talk about the work that you've done together. I'm going to let you tell the story.
Okay.
So how did it come about? And what's the journey been for you? What made you make the decision that you needed that support for your well-being?
Okay, so I have several autoimmune disorders.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, which is a challenge in itself. So I have, as well as type 1 diabetes, I've got celiac disease and I've got underactive thyroid. So weight has always been a bit of a battle for me. And then when you add in ADHD and that boredom thing and how boring I find physical activity.
I think most of us do. I don't think that's an ADHD thing.
That's a pretty difficult combination. But then in the summer of 2022, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer. So I also have now, I'm clear of that now, but I've only got 30% kidney function now. So quite a lot of challenges. And I realised really, I think that if I didn't look after myself better than I was with the level of business activity I've got, I was on a slippery slope.
Was the cancer diagnosis a wake-up call for you then?
People ask me that, but I think the problem with me is I just tend to drive through life and I don't get overly emotional about things. I just cracked on with it.
Yeah.
So fortunately for me, the operation to remove one of my kidneys was successful and all the cancer was taken away. I still have to have a scan every year. So I've got medium risk of secondary cancer return, but I just put that to the back of my mind. But I think the most important thing that came out of it is I was put on some quite strong blood pressure tablets, because when you've got low kidney function, one of the knock-ons from that is high blood pressure, which is heart attack territory. And I was having issues with that blood pressure stuff, and I thought, well, I need to take control of this myself. And I didn't really know where to go with it. So it was actually you at a board meeting that was talking about how successful you'd been with your weight loss and the fitness work that you'd done with Nick that I asked for a referral. And I had a very quick Zoom call with Nick, so I'm just going to do this and see where it goes. I did get on top of my medication for the because I had really, really poor energy levels, and I thought I just can't carry on at the level of business commitment that I've got and enjoy it with this really low energy. So that's why I started working with Nick. For very different reasons to you, really. And I think that's what I liked about it, that Nick didn't put me under any pressure to do anything that I didn't want to do. I regularly tell him that I'm bored with this now, and he changes the routine. Yep.
The most amount of changes in the program ever.
Really? Even worse than me?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. I have no idea.
I get very bored of things very quickly. Yeah. So half an hour physical activity. So what I've ended up doing is I do it in our lounge now with weights, in front of the TV, so I've got something that my mind's focused on. The problem with that is I lose track of where I am sometimes, so I end up doing more than I should do.
Love it.
That's not a bad thing, is it?
I mean, the impact, immediate impact, certainly from the first few weeks on my energy levels, my flexibility, my movement, just phenomenal. Just from doing some fairly basic daily exercise routines that we've slowly stepped up. So I'm not on a, it's not been a fast journey for weight loss. I'm not wanting to run a marathon or anything like that. It's just to maintain a level of energy that enables me to be active and stay healthy. And a lot of that's not, it's not just been around the activity or exercise, it's been around nutrition as well.
Yeah.
Which is very, very important for me with celiac and with type 1 diabetes and underactive thyroid, that I eat the right food. So a lot of clean eating and the right balance of fiber and carbohydrate and more importantly protein to make sure that I'm eating well and sleep again, as Nick's already mentioned. You know, I'm very lucky that things don't tend to keep me awake. I'm not a worrier at all. I don't worry about anything that's not in my
control. Do you not suffer with busy brain then? Because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's my issue, is that the brain will not then switch off.
But I have a tactic for that, and I think I've had a tactic for that. See, my brain doesn't switch off. And that, again, that's another ADHD trait. I'm constantly thinking about stuff. You know, it's like popcorn going off in your head.
Right.
But I've learned some tactics to keep me focused. Some of them work and some of them don't. I've accepted that there are things that I'm not going to be very good at because of that. So rather than punish myself for not being able to do stuff, I just don't do it. That's my tactic. I just don't do it. Somebody else does it for me. And from a point of view of on a night, so the way I switch off is to tell myself a different story in my head. I just take my thought process somewhere else. And that could be anything. But that's what I do. I just take my brain somewhere, my thought process, away from the stuff that's keeping me awake. The other tactic is occasionally I will get up, get a piece of paper and write down what's occupying my head, just to dump it somewhere.
Yeah. I think that's quite a common one, isn't it? People kind of make a list.
That does work, definitely.
Yeah.
Just dump it on a piece of paper.
See, the way I see this and the conversation we've just had, and, you know, feel free to come in and comment on this, is that, Nick, you're making the foundations really strong. So you're taking this person who leads a busy lifestyle and they're not looking after themselves. And for me, that's the foundation there, that you're laying those really strong foundations or even rebuilding them. And then Simon, you're helping them lay the bricks. Would you say that's a fair analogy of what we've got here? So you're looking after the well-being and the background of it all. And then Simon, you're helping them run the day-to-day things that they need to do to build the business and support them in their work well-being, if you like.
That's not a bad way of looking at it, but I think the word foundation is really important for what Nick does and what I do.
Yeah.
There is an element of you're putting the foundations down to help people build something better.
Mm.
And Nick's focus is on health and well-being, and mine is on having a better business that supports the life that you want from that. And I think foundation's a really, really good word. You build it up from the bottom. So I would always encourage people to think about what their foundation is. What is it that they've got that they can hold on to that's going to support them with their growth, both personal and business growth? And usually people haven't got that.
Mm.
So if you think about, you know, we talked about it last week, actually, that at the public speaking event, workshop that I attended, is where's your support? Where's it coming from? It's very difficult. And you've said it already about Dylan, the stuff that he's talked to Nick about that he couldn't talk to you about. It's the same with business. It's very hard to talk to your partner about business. It's very hard to talk to anybody with any vested interest in you or your business about what you're going through. So having that platform or that foundation of people to say, I can take this stuff and talk to them about anything, and there's no judgment. Nobody's going to want, has got any vested interest in the outcome of what I'm talking about. So for me, that's what Tab brings. And from a health and well-being position, that's what Nick does.
It's someone outside.
Yeah.
Looking in.
Yeah, and someone out of the loop.
Yeah. So every conversation that you have with Dylan, there'll be something, there'll be some bias, there'll be something, because
it becomes emotional.
Very much so. Yeah. And when you can have those conversations, also as well, some of the people that we work with, there is a fear of talking to people either below them in the company or to the side of them in the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would necessarily demonstrate, they feel that they would demonstrate weakness in that situation, and rightly or wrongly. But having that exterior conversation for Tab and for us at Unstoppable as well, it's so important. It means that you can actually talk about things you need to talk about, not bottle them up and just try and manage them on your own. If someone else has got a better solution, why wouldn't you use it?
I think the discussion is one of the conversations that we have with our clients and our members. The questions that we ask them help them to find the solution.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not consultants at Tab. We're not there to tell them how to do everything. We're there to help them find the solutions by asking the right questions, and that's effective both through the one-to-one coaching that we do and the peer boards. So the members ask each other the right questions to find the right solution.
I'm sure, Claire, for working with Tab at the moment, you're discovering so much about yourself, the business and everything else that...
Absolutely. I mean, working with both of you, I have, and I feel very privileged that I've had the opportunity to work with both of you, because I went for 20-odd years in a family business where I was so isolated. A lot of pressure on me, making decisions that I had to make where I wasn't informed, I didn't have the right skill set, I didn't have the right knowledge, and I didn't know where to find that knowledge and where to get that support. And I really, really struggled all those years. It had an impact on my well-being and on my health. So I feel very privileged that I've been able to get the support from both of you that I've had now. And I've said this definitely to you, Simon, that, God, I wish I'd had this years ago. But obviously, I kind of don't, because it led me to the path that I'm on now, and I love the journey that I'm now on with We Are Wakefield. I mean, I feel that I've found my way. But I'm very fortunate in my role that I meet amazing people, and two of them are here in this room now having this conversation. So I feel very privileged. And I would definitely advise anyone, even if they don't see that Tab's feasible for them or Unstoppable's feasible for them, find out, have a conversation about it, because you never know. It might be right for you. It might be the next pathway for you to achieving what you need to achieve.
So my view on that is I think everyone should have a mentor or a coach or somebody outside of their inner circle to talk about stuff and to talk things through and to find solutions. That needs to be the right coach or the right mentor for that person. And there are lots of other coaches in We Are Wakefield that offer great services. There's ADHD coaches, there's other business coaches. It's about finding the right person for you to work with. And you know, I would encourage people to have a conversation with anybody in We Are Wakefield offering those type of solutions. Find the right person for you to work with.
And even aside from that and beyond that, I would say share your challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I encourage that every month at the We Are Wakefield events, because a problem shared is a problem halved, and you don't know what knowledge is in that room. Everyone's on the same journey, albeit at different, you know, parts of that journey. So that's something I always encourage people to do. I'm going to ask you now, what are your biggest challenges? So, Simon, what do you think your biggest challenge in Tab is? What's the biggest thing that you have to overcome as a Tab facilitator?
Interesting question. I think the most difficult thing that we have to do is put the right people together and get the right balance and the right people on the boards together. We can meet somebody who would be great, fantastic for Tab, ticks all the right boxes, but we just haven't got a space for them. There isn't a board for them. So, yeah, if you put the wrong person on the wrong board, it can be very disruptive, and it can spoil the experience for them and the other board people. So I think the biggest challenge is putting the right people together. That's not easy.
The right fit.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Mm. Nick?
I'd agree with that completely. We're fortunate in that Ryan and I have got different coaching styles and bring different things to coaching. And we have decided not to work with people before based on we know what the outcome is likely to be and it's not going to be in their best interest. So it's making sure, I agree with you completely, Simon, it's making sure you're putting the right people together, whether it be being coached by either myself or by Ryan, and also as well making sure they are a really good fit for coaching as well and whatever their goals are. And I think most people that come and start working with us have actually got another goal, which is sat out there somewhere. And then to start with, they're too afraid to tell us. It's generally about week 8, week 12, where that kind of happens. And I think my worry sometimes is making sure that we facilitate that and we enable that person to reach that goal, that they the real goal that they're not talking about just yet,
and okay.
they want to do. So, yeah, I think that's just making sure we are good enough to be able to get them to that.
So again, it's a people fit, isn't it?
Always, yeah. Yeah, I know there are clients that Ryan coaches that I couldn't coach, and vice versa.
Mm.
And it is those particular skill sets that we apply and make sure it's the right fit for the right person.
When it comes to achievements now, ooh, what would you say has been the best achievement in your journey so far? Simon.
Wow, okay. I've never thought of that before.
It can be either personally or in the business.
Mm.
I'll give you, or it can be both.
I think there's nothing specific. So I've got no medals to hang around my neck or anything like that. There's nothing specific. So I would say it's the journey I've been on in the last decade. So one of the TAB members that I was on a board with as a member was at a board meeting with you recently.
And when we
talked about the journey that I'd been on, he laughed about where I'd come from and what it was like when I first joined TAB. So I think it's probably, I'm a completely different person to the one that joined TAB in 2013, 2014. Completely different. And I think the learning that I've had, and I continue to learn as a coaching facilitator, I learn and get an awful lot of learning from my own members' issues and challenges that they bring.
I can imagine.
So I think, you know, I started out in business when I was 45, which is quite late, which gives an indication of what how old I am now. But
I won't ask you your age, Simon.
I think from a point of view of personal development and I'm just in a really, really good, even though business is quite challenging at the moment for a lot of people, it's challenging for TAB members, it's challenging for TAB, it's challenging for my manufacturing business, without a doubt, I'm in a really, really good place, despite all the challenges that I've got, personal challenges as well around my health. I feel like I'm in a really, really good place right now. So I suppose when you look at the plates that I'm spinning, that I talk about, both personal and business, I don't think that's a bad place to be. So I can't say anything specific. I think just the journey over the last decade, really, and where I am now from where I was 10 years ago is just transformational.
Mm. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Good story. Now, I'm not going to let you say a gold medal, Nick. I'm going to make it slightly harder than that. So what would you say is your biggest achievement?
Every single person that we're able to help either realise their potential or get to where they want to get to, that is the biggest achievement every single time. when someone comes on a call and I get more excited than them, I think, sometimes. If someone's achieved something they want to raise, they've done this, they've done that, they've done whatever, I'm absolutely bouncing for them. So I think, they are, our clients are our biggest achievements, because they are doing it, they are turning up every day and doing it, and they're achieving their potential.
Job satisfaction off the scale.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, but I think as well, I think Nick recognises as well that for me, whilst I take some pleasure in seeing my members succeed, it's them, that's their success, it's not mine, it belongs to them. I've just helped them along the way. So I agree with Nick, absolutely. But I don't think of it in the, I sort of think of it as well, yeah, I've helped them, but they're the ones that admit it's their achievement.
I feel that you're both being overly modest.
No.
And you're doing what you do best, Nick, is that you're flipping it onto someone else.
I always think about great teachers at school, and the teachers that really, really enjoy the successes of the pupils, but see it as a pupil, celebrate the pupil's successes rather than recognising what a great teacher they are.
Yeah, very much so.
And it's very similar. I think you've got from a point of view, to be a coach, you can't be an egotist. It's not about you. It's about how you can help other people. And I know that sounds very sort of cheesy, but it isn't. That's why we're doing it. It's not for our own success and our own betterment, but we get that along the way as an outcome of what we do. But the primary thing that we do is we want other people to succeed and do well and support them in that process, whether it's health and fitness or whether it, you know, it's the business and whatever it is. That's what we're there for.
I think you can rest assured as well that, like, we all remember that great teacher from school. Mine's Mr. Farramond, English teacher, amazing guy. Yes, I will never forget him.
Mine was my favourite subject. As well.
Yeah, that you will be remembered by the people that you've helped as well. And you know, I think you've got to take that away from today. That we've you may have been overly modest in that response, but I think that you will be appreciated by every single person that you've supported and helped moving forwards. So I'm going to come to the top tip of 24 now. So this is where we end. We end in the same way on every episode of the podcast, only the numbers change because we were in 23 and now we're in 24. So Simon, what's your top tip for 24?
Okay, so mine is around surrounding yourself with the right people. So I'm going to pinch a line from Steve Judge about your golden gang. He absolutely 100% is right about that. It's going to be a tough year again, I think, in business. And that comes off the back of a tough year. We need to surround ourselves with the right people. So to pinch a line from Steve, it is Steve Judge, isn't it?
It is. So Steve Judge was the speaker at our event in February at the Cathedral.
So to pinch a line from Steve is find your golden gang and surround yourself with people that are going to support you and look after you, whatever that may be.
Wise words. Nick?
It's going to be a bit of a segue, actually. The number of people that neglect one particular element of their life, and that element is sleep, and the impact that that has on every single other part of your life. Getting that sorted will resolve a number of problems that people are having that they might not even be aware that they're having. So my top tip is that getting educated around sleep.
And they can do that, funnily enough, at the We Are Wakefield event in April at the Education Exchange, where yourself and Ryan will be talking about exactly that.
Yeah. With top tips on how you can get better sleep. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Simon Banks and Nick Johnston Davis. Thank you.
Wowvy Video. We create quality video content for B2B brands who want more visibility in the marketplace without the extra headache. From live action, animation, 3D, live streaming, and so much more. Visit wowvvideo.com. Wowvy Video, creating content to wow your audience.